everybody. Welcome back to ESPN's number one challenge podcast. Before we get too far into this, I just want to remind everyone that our coverage of The Last Dance is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Coverage is also brought to you by AT&T. All right. If you've been listening to us at all over the past, month or so that we've been doing this show, you know that we've bounced around and we started off as a Jay podcast, and then we thought we were going to get Josh and we were a Josh podcast. And then we got a little bit of attention from Rogan, so we became a Rogan podcast. And we thought we were going to get Bananas, so we were a Bananas podcast. And then we tweeted something and we got some attention from Caleb. That was between last week and this week. We became a Caleb podcast. Guys, I have a very important announcement. By the way, I'm joined as always by Charlie Kravitz, Charlie Hume, and Elizabeth Fuhrman. Today we become a Laurel podcast, and not just like pretend like we were with like Rogan and Kayla for like 3 or 4 days. Laurel's coming on the show today, and I don't think that I've ever been as excited to do one of these podcasts. I have been in the past excited to do it, not that I don't like doing it, but this kind of legitimizes us a little bit, I think. And it was a crazy episode. We had Nani Noodles make an appearance for the first time. I don't think that she's been Nani Noodles before. We had Nelson. What's the deal with Nelson? We can get to that in a minute. But are you guys as excited as I am about the fact that we have an actual challenger coming on this show?
I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, I think that everything with a limited sort of perspective on what the challenge is, I'm thrilled that we're having perhaps one of the fiercest competitors. As someone who's on the record as loving the Jordan-type fierce competitors, I'm thrilled that we're having Laurel Stuckey on the show.
Can we just you for a second before we go too far? This has been a ridiculous week for you. You started out the week talking to Tom Brady and Rory McIlroy, and now you're talking to Laurel from The Challenge, who is, I don't want to say Tom Brady-esque on The Challenge. Actually, you know what, Kravitz? Why don't you put her on the scale of where she would fit on The Challenge?
I mean, she's certainly a more dominant athlete than Tom Brady. It's a more individual sport.
Wow.
But both physical and mental game, she's got an equal sort of clutch thing that Tom has going on. She is 9-2 in eliminations. She came into my life almost a decade ago in Fresh Meat 2, where she got drafted by Kenny. She had 3 consecutive second place finishes before finally dragging Zach's carcass up the side of a mountain and winning free agents. I mean, her resume is unassailable. When she wants to win, Laurel wins.
And I just am honored to say, to have been able to speak to 3 of the greatest athletes of all time this week, and Tom Brady, Rory McIlroy, and Laurel Stuckey. You have to group all those 3 together in terms of greatness.
We should make her like a friend of ours, not just like a friend of the show, a friend of ours. Look, if I'm going to take you guys behind the curtain, I feel like Charlie Hume is a friend of Laurel's because he put this whole thing together and has just been going back and forth with her for like 2 or 3 days now. Not on even things related to this podcast are coming on, because she agreed to come on, and then your friendship, I feel like it just blossomed.
Yeah, I think it's been, I think really hit it off. I've already accidentally sent her a link to the wrong episode of a Mystery Crate podcast that definitely was not this challenge podcast, so maybe she listens, maybe she likes it. She's an amazing human being. I've loved all of my correspondence with her, and most importantly, she's one of the greatest challengers in the history of the show. So, like, this is going to be a thrill talking to her.
I think the highlight, because we're going to have her on, and I don't want to waste too much time on the front end. I think the highlight of last night's show, in terms of just ridiculous comedy, was the whole Nani situation. And
incredible.
I feel like Charlie Kravitz is the most qualified person to break all of this down.
I mean, this was peak Nani. We've had a lot of virtuoso performances from Nani over the seasons. And I think we've actually talked about it on previous episodes of this podcast that we haven't really had Nani go full Nani, because she tried to lock in on Asaf early in the season. She had little showmance going, but he was just like a little bit too nice for the challenge. He was sent home early until this week, until we got a night out at the bar. And I love fights at the bar. We had an argument. Nani was trying to hook up with Casey. Anissa took umbrage at that. But as much as I love the bar, there's one thing I love more than the bar on the challenge. And that's the after bar. That's when they go home. They're in their challenge pajamas, all gray Under Armour. They have whatever drunk food they can corral. And it goes down. And at this point, Nani and Anissa had already been chirping at each other. And we pick up with Jenna actually tried to be the voice of reason in this and being like, Nani, do you realize what you just did? Nani actually asked, I don't know. I don't remember what I did, Jenna. Jenna explained it to her, and Nani accused her of stirring the pot.
Yeah.
Which led to one of the great confrontations ever of Anissa poking her head in and Nani throwing a handful of ramen at her that wasn't even close.
No.
I really enjoyed Nani continuing to call, I think, Anissa, maybe everybody, bro. When Nani gets drunk, that's her go-to term of endearment or insult. I'm not quite sure what it was, but just bro. So really good.
I love that she was screaming at Anissa, you're drunk, at the bar when Anissa was like, listen, Nani, I think you're a little out of control. I think you've had too much. Just be careful. She's like, you're drunk over and over again. Can we talk about the technique that, by the way, hi, Elizabeth, how are you today? I feel like we haven't heard from you at all.
Hey.
I feel like the technique of throwing the ramen noodles was not the best, right? Because I think she threw the whole cup, right? It was like a styrofoam cup of noodles. The way that I would have done it is not with the noodles facing backwards, because when you throw it, it'll be like, it'll shoot out the back. I think if you throw it forwards with the noodles facing front, like the gravity and the momentum would have it go towards them, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a throw a couple noodles guy. I don't really know what the play is there. I couldn't quite understand. It seemed, I forget who had the ITM where they were talking about how the water was scalding hot. Yeah, I think there was a lot there. I'll say this. I have a concern about the water much in the same way that I was concerned about Kayla's fork toss last week when she threw the milk, but was really happy to see her come on Twitter, clear it up, say, hey, there was actually some distance there. I went blackout. I don't know what happened, but she was good to come onto the Twitter version of our pod and just clear that up. So thank you, Kayla, for joining the pod.
I'm glad you brought up the temperature of the water because it's something that I didn't notice that my wife noticed and told me. She's like, that's really hot. The fork was bent. Like, it was so hot that it melted the plastic fork. So it was crooked. She's
like, that is some hot water. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How bad do you think the moral hangover is when you wake up from that the next day? Because, like, as I get older, I'll have a moral hangover if I said, like, one thing slightly off on my very occasional night out. Nani just woke up. She had, like, a five-second tearful apology, and she's like, I'm good to go.
Well, first of all, my question is, can we exclusively refer to her as Nani Noodles now? Because that's a great nickname. Second of all, I feel like, and Billy has alluded to this, that the reason why that hangover was so short-lived is because Anissa was just the better person, the bigger person. I don't know. She just forgave. She was mature. She moved on. But I do have to rewind one tick to the evening before because I declared that this week was going to be the week that I would finally know everyone on the show. And meanwhile, the fight breaks out, and I thought that Corey and Rogan were security being called in. They're like dressed in all black trying to break up the fight. And I was like, wow, they had to bring in security. And then I was like, oh no, that's Rogan and Corey.
In your defense, Elizabeth, yesterday wasn't a good episode to learn everybody because they only highlighted like four people. There was Nani Noodles. There was Anissa, who's become far too mature for this show because she's not about any of the nonsense anymore. Then there was the elimination where it was Tori, Jenna. There was the whole Jordan aspect. And then there was our boy Nelson, who made an appearance and started out the episode with a typical Nelson moment where he thought he had the game figured out. Then came nominations and he took things way too far.
Yeah, and like not to make this a sort of tokenizing thing at all, Elizabeth, but I think that we've talked privately about the way this show sometimes chooses to portray women, especially women who are strong and just there are a lot of different ways where they kind of get minimized. And I'm curious just what your reaction was to the way Nelson spoke to Kayla and just what sort of feelings that brought up and seeing that play out.
I thought it was disappointing. It wasn't like something I was going to boycott the show after or anything. And I'm also kind of curious about the edits and how the show in general portrays women. I think it's so exciting that there are these female competitors who are athletic, strong, smart, and oftentimes a lot of their male counterparts kind of demean them or their accomplishments or their abilities. And I think that Nelson's actions between slut shaming and putting down his partner in Anissa last week and things like that are disappointing. But I think, I don't know, especially with the demographic of who this show is trying to reach, I would hope that that behavior is not being put up on a pedestal. But I also think that there's some of the edits and just the sort of environment that they've built up is stressful and very amped up. So I'm curious if that plays into it at all.
Yeah, and I think that it was whether or not we might question the motives behind Bear, you know, coming to Kayla's defense, and we saw, you know, some ITMs afterwards, some interviews afterwards where he kind of shed a little bit of light on maybe what his motivation was, but it was good to see Bear come to Kayla's defense and kind of reject that on behalf of the house. I don't know. Yeah, I think Kravitz might have, you had some other thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really well encapsulates it. I mean, there's a history of misogyny on the show, and it, like, a lot of it happened sort of before cancel culture and before people would stand up for what's right in that sort of scenario. So, I mean, from my perspective, obviously we can question the altruism of Bear, but it's just a step forward for the show that there was almost a moment of slack-jawed shock that Nelson was going to still behave that way. And that's growth. And that's, like, for all the negatives that surrounded that, that's still a positive step forward for the show. And it was actually sort of good to see that everyone actually reacted in an appropriate, mature way.
So to abruptly turn off of that discussion, I have received word that our guest, the person who we are now a pod of, we are officially a Laurel pod, thanks to this person. She's waiting in the wings here. So Kravitz, as our resident historian, there's a lot to know and learn about Laurel Stuckey. I'm sure a lot of people already know a lot about, you know, her success on this show and her greatness. But just if you could just give us a quick sort of bio of why she's one of the best to ever do it on the show, please go ahead.
Can I start with a one-word description? Dominant. But I need a second word. Intensity. Laurel came into our lives in Fresh Meat 2. She was incredible. She dragged her partner all the way to the finals, Kenny. She's dominant in eliminations. She has a certain intensity and fire around her that can't be matched. She goes to the finals in every single challenge that she wants to. She's lost two eliminations. Both one was a fluke and one she sort of tanked to get off the show. She is unbeatable when she is locked in. She's one of the true goats and one of the best to ever do it.
Here we go. Hey, Laura, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yo.
We're doing Hello. Well. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time.
You're welcome.
We're just diving into, we were roasting Nelson. So what a better place to start. Like, it was just, I mean, I think we were all kind of shocked about how that played out. I think, you know, getting a little serious too and talking about sometimes the way that women in the house are portrayed, and curious to hear your perspective on that, but largely just finding it so hilarious that he started that by trying to, like, make an apology, and then it got even worse, like, after that. Like, what an absurd situation.
Yeah, so I actually wrote down my thoughts for the first time ever to join you guys today, and I wrote, what the f*** is up with Nelson?
We have a segment called What's the Deal with Nelson, so that's perfect.
Yeah. We can replace the imaging now. This is even better.
Yeah, I don't understand that, to be honest. He's, like, super hyped up. I wrote down that he's super hyped up, and it just, to be honest with you, like, from being a person that actually has played the game, it changes people in certain ways, and I feel like his predisposition is to act like that, and he needs to learn how to control himself, and it shows that he really doesn't have any control over himself. And for whatever reason, I feel like maybe, because I don't even know why he was getting involved. Do you guys know?
It started out in such an absurd place because the previous week, that's what everyone was confused. It was a girls' elimination week, yet he was mad about Anissa throwing the competition. And then it all snowballed into this week with Kayla. Yeah, it doesn't. I'm curious on that piece too, because you saw Nelson say that this week, and you saw Nani say that this week. Like, how much do you buy the, oh, it's just the house, it's just the bunker getting to these people?
So, I mean, I buy it completely. I mean, the person that I turn into when I get there is like a stone cold murderer. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how I react to that type of situation, and other people react in different ways. And in a way, it's like, it's not benefiting Nelson to act like that. And he needs to like check himself. You know what I mean? And like, what I heard him say is that he truly wants to win. And I believe that he wants to win so badly that he ends up acting in these weird ways and he's going about it the wrong way. And I'm not going to give him any advice because I don't want to be giving away like my techniques on what I would do if I were him. But like what I see with Nelson and how he's reacting is just that he so badly wants to win and he's f***ing it up. Like at every corner, he's yelling at girls and he's, you know, yelling at his partner. You don't do that. That's just not how you win the challenge. And obviously it's just, he's very, what I see is that he is very inexperienced and is trying really hard, but also failing really hard.
Yeah. He's been on this for like a half decade too. And I feel like he has no feel of when to like be cool and when not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he an idiot?
So my only experience with him was when on Vendettas, I was cheering for Darrell because we came in as mercenaries and I was cheering for Darrell and I was like, kick Nelson's ass. Like, you've got this, you can beat him. And then afterwards he came down and he was like, hey Laurel, so I did it. Like, are you proud of me now? Like, do you believe that I can do it? And it's like, that was just like, so like sensitive of, it just showed me that like, he really badly wants people to believe in him that he can do it. You know what I mean? So maybe that's also why I have that perception of him that he like so desperately wants it. But just, I just feel like, I mean, Kayla said that he only has 3 brain cells and I'm not going to comment on his intelligence, but like, if you're doing something, the same thing over and over and over again, then like, what does that say about you? You know what I mean? You got to switch it up.
So Laurel, you're a challenge legend. I've seen like, you've been called the elimination queen in various places, like a 9-2 elimination record. Did you ever feel like on the show you had a peer as an athlete?
Yeah, there's a couple of people that are peers, but like, it's also a mental game. So it's not just athleticism, and you'll see that people pump themselves up at the gym and then they the bed. I'm not the biggest or the strongest. I don't have jacked up muscles. I don't. I just am an athlete in general. I played volleyball my entire life. I was, you know, the leader on all of my teams. I was the captain. I think it's just my nature. And so you don't have to necessarily have this, like these physical features to be able to win. So to answer your question, there are people who I look at in terms of peers. And one of them is Emily.
Okay.
Evelyn, most definitely, but also because of the intelligence factor that Evelyn has. Mm. She outsmarted me in Rivals 1. Like, we were neck and neck and she had more experience and she outsmarted me. And I had my partner as Cara Maria then, and I made some mental mistakes in that game. And so, you know, it's not just physical prowess that's going to get you to number one. It's the whole gamut. And so there are certain girls like Jenny who you look at her and you're like, is she really like, does she have it? But that's the other part of my evaluation of a person is it's not just muscles. So I don't think Jenny has necessarily proven herself or proven who she is as a competitor yet. We haven't seen enough from her, but I no other people pop into my head. Like, there's good players in the game, but Anissa, I remember I was a little nervous to go against Anissa in an elimination because size-wise, she's more on my size. So there's certain people that I'm like, I'm not sure about, and I kind of feel it out. But Evelyn's definitely someone that can beat me. And Emily, I don't really know because we really haven't gotten a chance to like go head-to-head.
That was we actually had follow-up questions, and we were gonna ask you of how you would think you would go against Emily, Tori or Jenny,
but in a hall brawl.
In a hall brawl,
because we have this clip here. Let me just show you this clip. We've been watching this clip since we started taping this podcast. We've been watching this clip, and this is the infamous Tori Jenny hall brawl.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, the way that, first of all, I'm stunned the way Jenny goes low and kind of just backs out of it, but the way that Tori goes through her. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of physicality.
A lot of lower body drive.
But it seems like you're the type of athlete that could deal with either of those two.
Boom.
I mean, just
boom.
Like good pad level, great drive.
I'm like, what is she doing? That's what I want to know. That if I was sitting there watching that, I'd be like, what the f*** are you doing, Jenny?
Right. Like, what do you think is a play? Cause it feels like she's physically larger than or stronger than Tori. And I just don't know what she's doing going low there.
But that's exactly what I was telling you. It does not matter what you look like.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't. This is showing her mental weakness. Honestly, that's what it's showing to me. She's not a well-rounded player. She's just got big, bulky muscles. So what?
Did you think you ever won, like, eliminations before you even got down there? Just from, like, intimidation around the house and knowing that other people were sort of more mentally frail?
The only one was Jasmine because she was crying when she got called down. That's the only one that I 100% knew that I was going to win. And that's unfair. You know what I mean? That was not the person that I wanted to go against in that elimination. I wanted to go against, what's her name? Teresa. Jasmine's a sweet girl, but yeah, no, the answer to that question is 0%. Do I ever go down there and think I've got this? 100% never is that a thought in my mind.
How much of this for you when you go down, though, is an act? Because you look very confident when you go, like, to the point that, like, I'm scared of you. Because you have this look in your eyes when you're going into these eliminations. And I don't want to upset you, but you look kind of crazy, especially, like, when you're in the zone. So I feel like your competitors are feeling that also. So how much of that is just, like, a front for you to psych them out? And how much of that is, like, you're just that in the zone?
It's not a front. That's just the way that I am. And I have in the ability to be hyper-focused. And that's one of my qualities that I have that I think is a benefit. And yeah, maybe if that makes me crazy, then it makes me crazy. But it also works to my favor. So I don't see that as, you know, it's like, it's interesting because I've never had to, and I'm sure that none of you have ever had to, like, self-analyze yourself in the way that I have to by being on television and have people's opinions on me. I can't really think about it. I'll just tell you, I go down there, I never, ever think that I'm going to win. And if that's how I appear, I guess that's just the way I am. That's the way that I focus.
What is that like for you, though? Because you've been on a bunch of these and you've been on X on the Beach. You've been on TV for a while. So a lot of the times, like, it'll be a Saturday or whatever and you'll be at home and it'll just be like replays of things that you did years ago. So, like, do you just avoid watching yourself from years ago on TV, or do you sit back and actually, like, analyze what it is that you were doing and then, oh, I could have done this differently, I could have done that? Or do you try to avoid it altogether?
I don't need to rewatch to analyze what I did because I lived it. So I am doing that in real time. I'm analyzing and making adjustments when I'm actually living it. I found that it's not beneficial for me to watch my own self on television. So I no longer do that. But I didn't know that being a 24-year-old, you know, youngster coming into a reality television show, just thinking that I was not really knowing anything, you know, just going to compete and going to do something that I thought that I would be good at. And, you know, to me, there's also a super element of fun to this. Mm-hmm. I could have probably been like a stunt woman, but I don't think that would have fully satisfied me in life. But like, I so much enjoy doing crazy things like this. So it's like, it's one element of fun, and it's one element of personal growth, because I have a really strong personality. And I don't think that, like you had said, that you are scared of me. And that's such an interesting thing for me to hear, because I don't really get that. I don't get what makes me scary, except for the fact that I will say exactly what I think and that I stand up for myself and I stand up for what I believe in. And I find that most people try and tiptoe around and maybe don't hold a strong opinion, or they are afraid to say what they feel. So it's confusing to me. And that's, I mean, I've been on television since 2009, I want to say. And so it's all been a learning experience for me as an individual, because I don't think that I would have been able to, or like look within myself or even analyze myself without the severe pressures of public opinion, because certain things I had to change about myself that I said, wow, that's not a good quality. You need to, you know, get your together and change that. And I don't think that I would have realized that without such scrutiny on me, because my personal friends and life people, they support me no matter what I do. So it's been good for me in that way.
Yeah.
Laurel, we have a clip that is, it's from the end of that infamous elimination against Ninja. I love so much what a competitor you are. It's kind of the reason why we've been arguing about this on the podcast. I love the way Jordan competes too. And like the way you have that drive. Like, I think that is maybe some of what you're talking about, where some of that aggression maybe, you know, makes people pull back a little bit. They're a little bit afraid of that. So two questions for you coming off of that is, one, where does that competitive drive come from? You talked a little bit about how you played volleyball. I believe it was club volleyball at Michigan State, just some of your athletic background. And two, you do say in that clip, like, I have to come back. Is that something you're considering? And like, you know, what is the timeline on that sort of thing?
I mean, yeah, there's no way I'm going out like that.
Let's go.
Good news. Laurel's coming back. Yes. can we run your campaign? Can we run your like bring Laurel back campaign? We'll be the number one dedicated to Laurel podcast if you just let us have that one task.
I think they'll ask her to come back whether we want.
100%.
Well, you know, it's not up to us. Take a little bit of the credit. Just a little bit of the credit would be nice. Yeah,
like bumper stickers.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay, we're on it.
You can have credit. You can run that campaign. I don't know if the casting people are like checking in, like the internet or anything. They kind of go about their what they do very secretively, you know. Nobody really knows exactly. I mean, I have like an inkling of what goes on and how they cast, but let's just say it's not an issue of whether or not they are inviting me back or not. It's I have things that I am doing also concurrently alongside being on the challenge and appearing on the challenge, and those sometimes conflict, and because of that I don't go on 19 seasons back to back and lose my mind.
Totally fair. So I'm a huge challenge nerd, and I feel like I've seen like a ton of your eliminations, and one of my favorite things about you is that you're sort of like a force of justice in the house. Where like you're gonna call someone out and be like, I'm gonna go down there and beat you. But I also feel like pretty much everyone thinks that they're being sneaky with their alliances and that no one else in the house knows. Just from being in there, everyone knows who's aligned with everyone after like the first couple of weeks, right?
You start to get a sense and like you start to feel it out. So in the past challenge that I did not know that Wes had come in with all of the people that he came in with, because they try and be secretive about it and they try and play both sides. But that's another thing that I'm picking up on rather quickly, is that just because somebody's lying to your face, but you're feeling something else, it's usually the thing that you're feeling that's correct. And that's what I don't like about the game, is the people that hide behind their bulky alliance. Like, just come in and play the game. Like, why do you have to come in trying to be protected by a cloud of people? I don't respect it. So it bothers me innately. I forget the question though. I got on a tangent.
Oh no, that's pretty much, I just want to know if people sort of figured it out early. Cause that's like one of the West characteristics of him getting into an interview and being like, nobody knows what I'm doing. And I always feel like everyone else sort of does know. Is it weird seeing Johnny and Wes together this season, by the way?
You know what? I think that Wes probably felt that was in his best interest after last season. And, no, I actually like it, because to be honest with you, I like Wes. I think that he provides good entertainment, and this season at least, I think he's been providing good entertainment and he is more low key. I like this Wes better than the like, I'm so intelligent and I run the game and look at all of the people that I can put on my puppet string and then with them. And it's like, okay, now like, no, because that's like the opposite of the experience that I have with Wes, because every game that I've ever been in with Wes, he's gone. He's never made it to the end, and he's always tried the whole alliance thing and it doesn't work. And you asked me like earlier, who do I see as like competition? I also see the mm-hmm. men as my competition. So
definitely.
To me, I think that, you know, I'm aware of both the women that I'm going to have to physically go against, but also the men, because in the final, you also have to be aware that, you know, it's usually, or sometimes it's like a man and a female team, or, you know, like everyone is my competition, basically. I don't have to compete against men physically until the final, but like, they're still on my radar.
I feel like this would have been the perfect season for you, because a lot of people in a lot of seasons, they play scared and just kind of skate to the end. And this is not that. Like, this time you need to go in and win your way in. And I feel like you would have been great at that.
Thank you. I've actually never been on a challenge where I haven't gone into an elimination. So it would have been the same old business as usual for me.
The Elimination Queen. They call you the Elimination Queen for a reason.
I don't like that title. Because
you don't? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I'm so
sorry. No. Let me tell you why.
First order of business in correcting our campaign. We will not use that phrase.
No.
Yes. Okay, no, but I don't like it because they use it with everyone. So they're not, they use it with Kara. They use it with Vanessa. They use it with me. Like, yeah. I don't like that because the writers at MTV.com don't have another phrase, I guess. And so because they use it with too many people, I don't like it because it doesn't feel unique to me. But I do like my statistics in terms of, I'm mad that I'm not undefeated anymore. I will say that.
Should be 10-1.
So one thing that we've been watching this season and we feel very passionately about is we've been watching a lot of Jenna and Zach drama unfold, and we are very anti-Zach based on what we have been seeing. So for a season that he's not even a part of, he is not making any friends on this podcast. So as someone who is a bit newer to the challenge, this has been my only exposure seeing how he's treating Jenna. And we had a whole discussion last week about how he was asking her to fly home from Prague, leave the show, and wouldn't even say I love you at the end of the conversation. And I think we all took issue with that. So we're not huge Zach fans, but as someone with a little bit more experience with him, is he any better than that? Is he just as much of a pain in the butt?
All right. So
ooh, here we go.
That is a temper tantrum Zach that you're seeing. Okay. So there's Zach who has a handle of things and is going about business. And then there is temper tantrum Zach. And what we're seeing with Jenna is temper tantrum Zach. He doesn't really seem to me to have much control over himself. And so what we saw on the mountain with him and I is that it's just an explosion and he can't handle himself. He's going to yell at who's ever's closest to him. And he's going he's going quite lunatic in the brain. He can't bring himself back down. And that is one of the sides of Zach. And I mean, Jenna can choose what Jenna wants to choose. Right. And Jenna loves Zach. And so I support Jenna because she loves him. And that doesn't mean that I would make the same choices for myself. And I don't think that that means that you would make the same choices for yourself. But I support Jenna because she's her own individual. You know what I mean? I don't like that side of Zach. I don't. And I think that he could grow up a little bit. And, you know, but it's not my responsibility, aside from coercing him to not quit a final while we're in the midst of it, to deal with that. So I don't really have to deal with it, but that is one side of him. That is one side of him that, you know, maybe he could grow up a little bit.
So happy you won that season.
I know. God. Oh my God. You have no idea. That was my fourth challenge, I want to say. And I had 3 second places and I was like, if this quits in the final and I get another second place, I'm gonna lose my
It was amazing, especially because fresh meat, I was 100% sure the entire way through until you finished second that you had it locked down.
Oh God, that was another super disappointing thing. You know, it's like sometimes I feel like I wish that I had an equal partnership, you know what I mean? Like somebody that I could look up to, you know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like I've got all the weight on my shoulders in order to like strategize and make things work and work with people's insecurities and work with people's physical inability and work with people's mental like you know, they're out of their minds sometimes. It's like, can I get somebody at some point who's on my level who will run beside me and maybe even carry me a little bit? You know what I mean? Like,
and Laurel, on that piece, I think it's really interesting in talking about the Zach Jenna dynamic and talking about a partnership and watching Tori and Jordan. And so on the one hand, I feel like, what an amazing significant other Tori is, and that she can listen to Jordan talk to her like that and understand how much of a competitor he is and process that in the right way, even though he's not communicating it in the right way. But on the other hand, as a competitor, and I'm sure you of all people can empathize with the way Jordan feels, like he just wants Tori to win so badly. So I'm curious, you know, how you feel about both sides of that equation, about the partnership, about, you know, the way he talked to her, but about like the emotion that they showed at the very end of the episode. I can play a clip that doesn't have sound, but I thought it was a really interesting the way that played out.
So I guess what I saw between the two of them, I mean, Tori's like the grounding piece. Do you know what I mean? Like, And that's why they're wonderful together, is because she balances them out. They balance each other out. You know, Jordan has this immense strength within him, and in a lot of different ways. So he's just a strong individual. And sometimes he has episodes of blowing up and, you know, extreme fiery, always crying. That's so sad. Oh, it's just, so they're good together in that way. And I think that she can look past like an outburst of passion and see what it really means. It more so just that he wants her there and they want to be together. She's also, I know, working on her, I don't want to say status, but that's the only word that comes to my mind. She's working on her status in the game, in the sense that I know that she feels that she's doesn't feel like she's the strongest competitor. So she's building herself up in that way. And Jordan's like building himself down into like a less reactive, less explosive person. And it's a good thing that they have going on. And I mean, yeah, me of anybody, I think, can relate to just how intense things can get, especially when you want something to happen and it doesn't happen and you're on a show. Because another thing that I don't really think that any of you would really understand is the difficult situation and the way that it feels to be on the challenge. It's not really pleasant all the time, most of the time. So that's another factor in how people are acting and reacting and not acting correctly. You know what I mean? Like, it brings out many, many sides of people that you wouldn't normally see having a conversation like this, or even interacting, you know, out in a bar, or even interacting at a game night. Like, it's a mind sometimes too, because a lot of people, there's a lot of conversations happening, and then there's a lot of people who are intentionally trying to with other people. And then there's the whole element of just so many different opinions from people that you might not even interact with or want to interact with on a normal basis, and taking those bullets sometimes. That's how I feel. I feel like I take a lot of bullets, and, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody that is hard for me, right? Because then they're going to cut my legs off and send me home. I'm going to say, you stupid. I'll fight you. You want to fight? Let's fight.
See and why then, I'm scared of you, though, Laurel? Oh, man.
But,
you think moving forward it's good? It's going to be good or bad for Jordan's game that Tori's gone? Because I feel like you've had showmances before. I feel like when you're that invested in someone else, you kind of prioritize their game over yours. So it can kind of be a distraction to a point, like where Jordan seemed more focused on Tori succeeding than himself. So, like, now he's losing kind of his support system, but he can be more focused on himself.
Yeah, that's definitely something that he's going to need to do if he wants to stay in the game. But I'm calling it right now. It's not looking good, because, you know, from my experience, when you send yourself down into the elimination, and then, you know, like the heat's on them. Like the heat was on Tori. Now the heat's going to be on Jordan. And, you know, that's a tough spot to be in if you don't like correct it quick. And, I've been in that position, but then again, it also makes me a little bit cold-hearted because it's always been a little bit imbalanced in my relationships that I've had on the show, because I'm really only thinking about myself. And then, you know, the relationships develop. I do get involved in relationships, but I don't fully invest. And then it ends up being imbalanced because I feel a full investment from someone else, but my priority is the game.
Mm, yeah.
I do still like romantically connect with people. But I don't ever fully go into it because that's not what I'm there for. So it's going to have to be a little selfish. Jordan's going to have to be selfish if he wants to stay in the game, and he's going to have to put her out of his mind. And I don't know if that's possible when it's your fiance, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hard pivot here, but sort of on the showman's thing. What makes Bear so charming? Does he have like romantic game that doesn't come through on television when you watch it back?
He's so funny. You would really like him, to be honest with you. And like,
do you think you'd get him to come on and join us?
I could ask him. Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Let's go. We'll be a Laurel.
Yeah, Laurel
booking
the show. How about that? This is amazing.
He's so fun. Okay, Bear, let me tell you something about Bear. Bear, I think, is an expert at reality television. Okay. Oh. So he goes on the show looking to put on a show. Okay. He also is aware that the challenge is a physical show. So he's upped his game in terms of training for the show and preparing for the show. And I think that we've seen like a development in that way from him. I also think that he's an athlete from the past. He used to play soccer from what he's told me. And I know that he has a really good family life. So with people that have really good family lives and come on reality television, there's an element to the persona that you have on television not really being who you are. And it's because this is a difficult concept to grasp. So it is because not all of your personality gets shown, number one. So you only get one portion of the person that they want you to be seen as on the show. So you're not dynamic in the way that you are in real life. And also, some people know how to work the interviews. Like, they really know what people want to see. They know what's entertaining, and they know what they're going on for. And that's Bear. Like, Bear, though, his real life, he's a family man. You know what I mean? He is, obviously he's got some problems with relationships in terms of like, you know, that, but I just see that as insecurity. Like, I think that Bear innately is an insecure man, and he needs that female validation constantly. And also, he likes to go after girls that tell him no, because it makes him feel accomplished when he gets them, and then he moves on. And that's why women need to be careful of him, because they need to recognize that they're not going to be any different, you know what I mean, than his normal
bear traps.
Way to go. Yeah, but he's so funny. He's so relatable, and he is really nice. So, and that's what I mean by good family life. Like, I have come to realize, like with Nicole, for example, on X on the Beach, she's a person because of the way she spun the interviews, knowing the conversations that we were having in real time, and then seeing how she was trying to spin it in her favor. And that's something that you can do on the show. Whereas I don't do that. I just go in, they ask me a question, I say what I think, and then I leave. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's I'm not trying to think, how can I this person over so that it makes me come out looking on top.
As I said, certain people do scales of justice.
Yes.
Yeah. And I learned that more so than ever on X on the Beach. And that's what makes me now think that, I mean, aside from the fact that Nicole is a cheating son of a gun, will ya? She also has bad intentions for other people who, when I came in saying, look, I don't want to fight, I care about you, and I just wanted to leave things on good terms, but she had to come in and try and one-up me in the interview sense. And so it's interesting because Bear and Nicole are sort of similar in certain ways because they're both really persistent and they're both kind of insecure. But Bear is a better person than Nicole in that sense because he doesn't spin things to try and hurt people. He does hurt people in terms of like cheating, but like at the same time, you got to look at somebody like that and you got to say, all right, if I'm getting involved with this, I run the risk of them cheating on me too. So I don't know. It's complicated. The whole thing is really complicated, but the element to reality TV interviews is a whole other animal that I'm still learning after being on these shows for years.
Yeah.
Laurel, you've been amazing to spend the time with us. I can't believe this is our first legitimate guest in the history of ESPN's number one challenge podcast. Are you studying right now? We saw on your Twitter bio, what doctor are you going to have in 2 years?
Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. I'm going to take care of
Animals. Awesome.
Incredible.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with that. We'll get the campaign going. We're going to hit you up at all sorts of inconvenient times to try to get Bear on and other people. But thank you so much for spending the time. You were great today.
Oh, good. I'm glad. No. Yeah. Let me know. I'm sure that with the weight of ESPN behind you, you can get some heavy hitters on here.
You'd be surprised. Josh has blown us off like twice. 4 or 5 times already.
Josh,
you've been chasing Josh for weeks.
Yeah, Josh.
Oh my God! Wow. Okay. Well, let me call some of my friends. How about that?
Thank you so much.
We're a Laurel podcast. We're a Laurel podcast for life. Number one Laurel podcast for life.
And I'll ask if my dog gets sick or anything.
Okay. That sounds good.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Laurel.
Thanks, Laurel.
Thank you guys.
Bye. I'm starving right now. And I think there's only one thing that I want in my life. And that's Eliz's recipe of the week.
Okay. I have two things that you guys can pick between. Sweet pork barbacoa, which is a spinoff of a recipe from one of my favorite restaurants in Salt Lake City called Cafe Rio, or a TikTok famous beverage, whipped Dalgona coffee.
Ooh.
I mean, we could do a show of hands. We can do a show of hands vote.
Picture, and then that can inform your decision.
Show us a picture of each.
I was going to say, the barbacoa sounds great, but I feel like I'm in on whipped coffee already out of the gate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I need that.
Oh, yeah, whipped
I need one of those.
Okay, this is good because there are fewer ingredients. We know that I get hung up on talking about long lists of ingredients. And Billy got really frustrated last week when my recipe was going to take 85 to 90 minutes, even though it was only 5 minutes of hands-on time. Mm-hmm. And the pork barbacoa is in a slow cooker, so it takes about 8 to 9 hours. And I figured Billy would have checked out immediately.
What?
No chance.
Okay, so I don't drink caffeine because I talk like this when I don't. So I had to use decaf. This is decaf, but you can make it regular. Instant coffee, 2 tablespoons of it. Granulated sugar, 2 tablespoons. Warm, not boiling water, 2 tablespoons. So equal parts of those 3 ingredients. Put them in a bowl and whisk vigorously for anywhere from 4 to 8 minutes. It's a very good arm workout. It takes a long time. Your coffee mixture will start to change in color, it'll get lighter, it'll get thicker, it'll get frothier, and the longer you go, it'll turn like whipped. Then you take a glass of your milk of choice. I chose almond milk with a splash of cream. Then you put that with some ice in a cup. I don't like ice, so I didn't do ice, but you're supposed to. And then you put the whipped coffee mixture on top, and it just kind of like sinks into the milk, and you stir it up, and you feel like you're a barista, and you're very fancy. The end. It's from TikTok.
That is amazing and simple.
Yeah, I really learned from last week, and I tried to simplify.
Can you use a KitchenAid to whisk, or is that too forceful?
You can use a pancake mixer.
I was going to ask that too, because my wife just bought a mixer, but you seem to kind of frown upon the idea of not whisking it by hand.
I'm just going off of what I saw on TikTok, and it was hand whisking for 4 to 8 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to whisk for that long.
No, do you switch arms too? Because if it's a good arm workout, you'd have to switch after 2 minutes if you want to even it out, I would think.
Or you just get really big muscles on your right arm.
Yeah.
Well, not if you're left-handed.
Yeah, but it was a refreshing afternoon pick-me-up.
I'm excited about that. I'm going to try to make that. I don't know what instant coffee is. What is instant coffee?
Like little coffee crystals.
Coffee crystals. Okay. I'll have to look.
You can't use regular coffee. You can't open up a K-cup. Has to be instant coffee, 2 tablespoons, granulated sugar, 2 tablespoons, and warm but not boiling water, 2 tablespoons.
Well, sounds like we're about out of challenge content, huh? Should we get some final thoughts from Elizabeth?
Have a great week, because it's Monday, so I hope that the rest of your week is wonderful. I loved talking to Laurel. She's our friend now, friend of the pod. And work hard and be kind. I don't know. That's just right behind me. That's the only thing I can
think of. It's a layup. Total layup.
To live by.
You can always fall back on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.